This podcast is sponsored by Runway, air traffic control for your mobile releases. Put your releases on autopilot. Runway will shepherd your release from kickoff to submission to release with no manual intervention. A single source of truth for your releases. Runway integrates with your favorite tools for a bird's eye view over release progress and blockers. Make your releases collaborative. Get a rich, contextualized release runbook that makes capturing responsibilities and tracking tasks crystal clear. Get more control on your releases on App Store and Play Store. Point your browser to runway.team. Thank you for sponsoring my podcast. I'm also revamping my newsletter. Check it out, appforce1.net to sign up. You can also find a sign-up link on my Twitter profile. Hi, and welcome to the 64th episode of my podcast. This is actually the second recording that I'm doing of this episode, because something went wrong with the first recording that I did last night, and I just had to re-record everything from scratch again. So that was a bit of a setback, really. So let's just get started. My name is Jeroen Leenaerts. I've been developing software, doing iOS apps for 9 years, and I also run the Dutch CoCats. By now, I think everybody who listens to my podcast knows about this. So let's have a quick overview of the titles of the articles that I'm going to talk about in this episode. And that's going to be Fixing Wrong Animations with Diffable Data Source, How to Write HTML in Swift, Automating App Store Publishing, Networking with Combine and Swift UI, Prototyping with Swift UI, Creating Complex Interactions Using Gestures and Modifiers. So as I mentioned already, a bit of a setback yesterday, but I won't let it get me down. A lot of cool stuff happening this week for me. I'm going to be presenting with a colleague at iOS ConfSG. That's a Singapore-based conference, so looking forward to that one. That's at the end of the week. Furthermore, I'm working on getting my second piece of content ready for the stream blog, and there's also some developments in regards to my podcast. Good developments, actually. I can't share yet right now what those developments are, but hopefully next week I can share a little bit more about that. And I hope and I think you will like what I have to tell soon. My four-year-old Milan is still enjoying going to school. You can tell that he is getting a bit tired of the long days that he's having to put in at school with his class. But still, every day he jumps out of his bed, is really happy to get started. And if it's up to him, he will just skip his breakfast and go right to school. We tried telling him that his teacher wouldn't be there at that point in time yet. But there's no stopping him right now. So I hope he keeps at that. Also this week, my daughter will have her first gymnastics training with her new squad in a gymnastics hall, which is good because we were unable to for the last month due to the restrictions in the Netherlands. But fortunately, those restrictions have been loosened up a little bit. So she is really looking forward to that event. Of note, and that's also interesting, is that tomorrow, actually Wednesday, normally I record on Monday, but now it's Tuesday. So on Wednesday evening, CocoaHeads will have their meetup again. And they also have a new sponsorship announcement, which is great. And I really look forward to what people think in that community on the new sponsorship. And I think if the entire pandemic thing lifts up a little bit when we get close to the spring and the summer, hopefully I can do some really big moves with CocoaHeads as well, because the Do iOS conference is still something that is in the back of my mind and that I really hope to be able to execute on soon again. So let's dive in with the articles. The first one is by Philip Nemechek, Fixing Wrong Animations with Diffable Data Source, The Most Common Causes and How to Fix It. The magic of Diffable Data Source, either for UI Collection View or the UI Table View, is that it does a lot of work for you. But sometimes it doesn't quite do what you want, and it's hard to pinpoint where the problem lies. In his post, Philip will look at what the most common causes for incorrect animations are, and what his fixes are for those situations. With incorrect animations, Philip means that instead of inserting one new item or removing it, Diffable will refresh the entire view, which isn't a pleasant user experience. Or you might sometimes see other glitches as well. So a very solid overview of some issues that you can run into If you're dealing with difficult data sources and it just doesn't look right or doesn't behave right. So just look at your code, compare it to what Philip has shared, and hopefully there's something in there that will alleviate your problems. So the second article is How to Write HTML in Swift. It's an article by Tibor Bodic, and it's a tutorial about how you can render HTML docs using a brand new DSL library called SwiftHTML and the Vapor Web Framework. As you might know, Tibor is a huge fan of server-side Swift, and he always likes to dive deep in tools like Vapor. And by the looks of his article, he wrote a library called SwiftHTML, and in his article he introduces it, how he can use it, and what the benefits might be if you define your HTML in Swift code. Then after that, he goes into some details on how you can incorporate the Swift HTML library within Vapor, because Vapor has an official template engine called Leaf, and the community also created the TypeSafe HTML DSL library called HTMLKit. So why did he create something similar? Well, he tried all the available Swift HTML DSL libraries that he was able to find on GitHub, but he was not entirely satisfied with the currently available solutions. Many of them were outdated, incomplete, or he simply didn't like the flavor of the DSL. He wanted to have a library which is very lightweight and follows the standards. That's the reasons why Tibor created Swift HTML. So he describes how you can integrate Swift HTML with Vapor, and it's actually pretty simple. Once you've went through his tutorial on Swift HTML and how you can incorporate it with Vapor, I think you have a good understanding of this new library that Tibor created, and also how it might apply in your situations, and if it's actually something that you want to use yourself as well. The third article is by Rudran Kriyam. It's on automating App Store publishing. So it's basically a post that details the journey that Rudank went on when automating a manual release process that he had for his app Quoting. And it shows what issues you run into, what solutions are for those issues. For instance, you have to get all your certificates and provisioning profiles in order, make sure that code signing works, and then you have to build for distribution. But with all this stuff, you have to make sure that you don't put your credentials and your key material in your repository itself. Fortunately, most CI solutions have a solution for this that allows you to store secrets in a different context that is not visible to people visiting your source repository. His article goes over the steps of building the app, testing the app, archiving the app, and publishing it. So I think it's a solid overview of what you can do with automating on your CI/CD platform. And he has written this article in such a way that the lessons that you will learn from this article should apply to any CI/CD solution that you're using yourself. The fourth article is by Peter Friese. It's called Networking with Combine and Swift UI. So it's a new series of articles by Peter. In this series, he will look at how you can use Combine in the context of SwiftUI to access a network resource, map the data to structures that have meaning within your context, so in your app, and how you can handle any errors that might arise during this process. And to put the cherry on top, he promises to also have some information on dealing with more advanced scenarios. It goes over the details of fetching data using a URL session, all the error handling that you should have in place, and how you can fetch the same data using Combine, how you can connect all of this to Swift UI, and how you can use Combine publishing changes from background threads. So really a quick overview of how you can get a network resource into Combine and how you can get this on a Swift UI user interface. The fifth and final article is by my colleague Amos. It's called Prototyping with Swift UI, Creating Complex Interactions Using Gestures and Modifiers. It's a really fun article that explains how you can do quick prototyping with Swift UI. So what Amos likes to do, he's actually a designer, what he likes to do is just pick up some Swift UI, put a user interface together, which is pretty much an empty shell, but it behaves and it acts like an app, and then do some prototyping with it and see if it's something that he likes, something that he works, and then he hands it off to a software developer to actually attach logic behind it and make sure that the underlying code is also completely up to spec and handling all edge cases and errors. So in his article, he shows you how you can use Swift UI list view, refreshable and scrollable, how you can use swipe action, and how you can add paginated scrolling, and how you can trigger animations with human initiated gestures. The source code is available on GitHub, and in the next part of this tutorial, he promises to teach you how you can create chat messaging related animations with Swift UI. It is, of course, a company blog, but I did want to mention this one because it's very specific about Swift UI and the power of Swift UI to quickly iterate on a user interface that you can then take forward into an actual product. So that's the final article of this week. It's a bit weird to record the same content for the second time, but I must say that having all my notes and everything worked out beforehand, it really sped up the process. So maybe the lesson that I can learn from this entire mishap during this this week is to just make sure that I prepare my notes for a podcast recording just that little bit more, so that I have this easy and convenient feel of recording an episode on the first try that I do it. And so if you have any feedback on my podcast, please reach out through Twitter DM at AppForce1. I've also been working on creating a bit of a backlog again for recording sessions with people. And actually later today, I will be recording with two people. And later this week, on Friday, I have a plan to record with two more people. And then next week on Thursday with three people. And then I have a bit of a slower pace in the weeks after that. But as you can already tell, within about a week from now, I should be having a nice fat backlog of interviews on the shelf, so that I don't run into the same issue I had like last week, running out of interview guests. And I just don't want to have that happen anytime soon again. So if you know somebody that I should interview on my podcast, please let me know. If you yourself would like to be interviewed for my podcast, reach out as well. You can do that through Twitter DM at AppForce1, but I already mentioned that that handle. So talk to you again next week, and I hope to have you as a listener again on Thursday this week when I have my next guest for an interview. Bye-bye. Lead Developer, best practices and tips for lead software developers. PDF, MOBI and EPUB format. AppForce1.net/lead developer. All one word.